This is Engineer Eric, listening to part two of our November 19th Jimmy Doan Show. I guess I hit that pesky record button. Excellent.
Jimmy Doan Show.
Wait. Are you taking a picture of this? I'm on Craigslist looking for. Wait a minute.
He's not getting the girl.
Okay, good.
It's still November 19th.
1 hour donation, $260.
National Buy Ammo Day. Mm-hmm. If you haven't done so,
if it's not me, it's free. That's what she says. This is Craigslist. That's what I like about Craigslist.
But you know, the day that we were talking about that last week or whatever, that was, I saw it, remember when our friend from Norway was over?
Yeah.
And we were talking
about... Did you check out Craigslist?
Well, the thing was, we literally went to the, over here to the Purple Porpoise, a.k.a. Gator City or whatever, and then on that night, on the TV, they had Craigslist up. And it says crackdown on prostitution.
Yeah.
I mean, that night, you know.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, it's really bad. They're making them pay $5 now for a listing in the erotic section.
Yep.
So it's supposed to weed out the...
Well, the problem is that from what I hear, is that if some other girl gets jealous and she posts, like, she flags you, you lose your ad.
Well, not only that, there's also, not only do they, apparently there's some of these ads I was reading someplace on some blog where some of the ads are staying up for like 30 seconds and they're getting totally flagged.
They're getting flagged, yeah.
Yeah, and then the flaggers are getting flagged. Oh my God, it's just hysterical to watch this in action. I mean, these people, oh my God. And of course, there's no prostitution goes on. Okay.
No.
All money exchanges for time and entertainment only. No, this is not enough for prostitution. see my reviews on the exotic review.
150 roses for
right. 150 roses. Yeah, exactly right. and then see my reviews, and of course the reviews are, you know, I pumped everything inside you. Went back for thirds. You know the whole deal. I'm thinking, okay, well this is good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's exciting.
All right. So Jimmy, what else? What else we got happening right now? Is there more fallout from the Obama thing? Do you want to talk about the international? International relations policy. Are you still on the economy? We talk about the.
There's really not much to talk about. Obviously, he's been pretty silent about the whole thing. And I, to be honest with you, we're gonna have to wait until January 20th.
You mean the international the foreign policy?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Hillary's not been appointed yet, and of course she's dragging Bill along with her. That's got to be a strategic move. You kind of wonder if she's Secretary of State, she probably won't run against him in 2012. That's, you know, kind of a little strategic
move. Keep your enemies
closer. Yeah, exactly. And the unless, of course, everything really goes down the tank, which I fully expect it to. And it certainly will go down the tank if these guys monkey around with things. I mean, it'll get from bad absolutely to worse. If they don't get out of the way. And unfortunately, there's no hint that they're going to get out of the way. I mean, they honestly believe it's so funny. The hubris, the unbelievable hubris of these people to think that we can push on this string. We can, we can wave our wand and all will be ready. And of course, my question is, why didn't you do this 30, 40 years ago? When I was a kid, you could have done it.
What I think is interesting is that they feel like their political success has somehow endowed them with some fabulous business and financial acumen.
Right. And of course you realize that the qualifications to be in an office are zero.
Right.
I mean, you could be a convicted felon, for God's sakes.
Sure.
I mean, what is it? Somebody was telling me that, I mean, you
that doesn't mean nothing. Martha Stewart's a convicted felon.
Right. But my point is that the qualifications to be in office are nothing.
You don't have to be.
You don't have to be smart. I mean, you can be a wino bum convicted felon person instead.
But you can't be a girly man.
That's right. Well, you can actually.
Yes.
Actually,
yes, you can.
You know, Barney. Hi, Barney.
Yeah.
But the deal is that these are the guys making decisions, and they're so much smarter than the rest of us. 535 of them know how to run the country, although there seems to be some small disagreement. And your friend Fakhreddin Zakari or whatever was on the Stephanopoulos thing.
Yes.
And you were telling me he said, he said the government can, well, we have a choice between, it's not anymore. He said what? Between
the choice between big government and small government.
It's between.
He's like, now it's about smart government.
Smart government.
And I'm thinking, okay, it's interesting.
That's like an oxymoron.
It's a total oxymoron because you know that they're going to be making political decisions and not any other kind of decision. It's the only decision they make is, will it keep me in office? But, I mean, it's stunning to think that out of the 300 million people in the United States, that exactly the 535 smartest ones are up there in Washington.
No question about it.
No question. I mean, it's just stunning to think.
Geniuses.
And, of course, the voters, being the dumbasses that we are, we're able to select those smart people.
Well, and what's great about it also is not only did we select the smartest one, but we selected the most pious as well.
That's right.
The most honorable. And it's a good thing because that was the other thing that Fareed said. It's only going to work if there's no government corruption.
Well, that's good.
So they've weeded out the corrupt Republicans.
Well, and that's good because, well, the only little minor problem they've got is if they weed out the corruption of government, we won't have one. they'll all be gone.
Well, I'll tell you, it is going to be an interesting financial situation.
Well, you know what I find interesting is that China has decided to do the same damn thing. They don't even, their letters don't even look like ours, and they must have read Keynes. I'm saying here's, you know, the government in China has embarking on an explosive venture to pump $586 billion, which of course is nothing compared to what we're doing. And I mean, you understand that China's economy, as big as it is with 800 million guys or whatever it is over there, people, whatever, it's still only about, it's still a third or a fourth down the list as far as GDP and so forth. I mean, Japan, Great Britain, and others are ahead of China as far as what they can do. So $586 billion for those guys
is a lot of money.
And they're going to pump into the infrastructure over 2 years. The reason is the classic Keynesian excuse. The spending is needed to stimulate investment. Never mind that this trick has never worked in all of human history. Instead, this is what I love. And he's talking about China. Instead, this is a grand plan to loot the private sector on behalf of the Communist Party, which will then spend the money on bolstering its power. I mean, you can take out the word communist and put Democrat in here.
Jeez, who wrote that article? I didn't realize anybody.
This is by Llewellyn H. Rockwell. It's on the Rockwell, but he has a blog.
Lou Rockwell.
Lou Rockwell.
Okay, yeah.
It's called The Myth of Good Government, and it goes on and on. But I mean, it's dead nuts. It's right on the money, and it's, another guy that wrote there on the Lou Rockwell was Thomas D. Lorenzo, who's written quite a few things, and he's talking about the recipe for the next Great Depression. And I will say this, that there are eight lessons on how to create the next Great Depression, and I agree with him on seven of them. He has an unerring. I'm an atheist, so he has an unerring belief in God. He says without God, it all falls apart. I don't believe that. So
what is his recipe?
Well, he says the basic problem, well, his recipe, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I will do this. His first thing has to do with the central banks. As you know, the banking industry is a bit of a problem, and I got this.
Well, first, I think we should probably point out, well, if this is the time, that it didn't take them long to decide to change what they were going to do.
Oh, the 700 billion.
The 700 billion. No, they're on plan four. I mean, they have changed. I mean, I'm thinking, wait a minute. This is like 2 weeks ago, and now it's, and 2 weeks before that, it was, you know, plan A, and we're on like plan D and a half now.
You can't win a football game running the same play. You know,
I'll tell you. You know, if it were only that important. You know,
this is like the biggest shell game.
Oh my God. I mean, it changes daily. I mean, I will
but
say
they
this.
They already have our money. They already have our money.
That is exactly right.
It's a question of who's lining up the best hookers is what it is. Well, first it was the housing industry, but now it looks like the auto people really have the line.
Well, no, the first was the insurance.
On the hot chicks.
No, but you understand that the insurance, AIG.
That's true.
AIG got their money.
Right.
I mean, they got $85 billion and came back to the trough for more.
Right.
then the banks got
some.
Well,
they came back after their vacation, you mean.
Right. Well, that was $300 million or whatever.
They had to go on the vacation first.
To figure out how to get the extra 50 B.
You know, they closed door session. I understand that. I mean, look, with all that money piled up in Washington, and they've already given you a bunch, why wouldn't you go back for
more? Hell yeah.
Rob that bank again.
Heck yeah, man.
So anyway, then the bank.
Can you imagine they're sitting there slapping their knees about the $85 billion, and somebody said, I bet we could get 50 more.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, you're not going to believe it.
$50 the Smales kid picks his nose.
Man,
not another 50, he eats it.
Here comes John. Look, he's got the check. $85 billion,
you got to think, these guys are smart and everything. That's still an inconceivable amount of money.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it'd be worth, if it's 850,000, I understand that. Even I understand 800, and I understand like 8.5 million. But 85 billion.
That's a huge, staggering.
God.
I mean, that's just.
And so they went. So then the banks, of course, are looking for. You know, they're obviously serious bailouts, and they got some bailout money too. I think already, didn't they get a couple hundred billion?
I think so. I mean, I think they've dished out. I think they've committed.
One of the things that is interesting about
300.
Yeah, the one that you're right, and I think that, and of course, some of that was they had some official 125 billion or whatever in pork. But one of the things that is interesting about is this: when you people don't realize this, when you pick a winner, you've also selected all the losers.
Oh yeah, totally. They don't know that.
It's what's seen and not seen.
Which of the big three automakers will get the money and which won't? It'll be interesting.
Or how's it going to be divvied up?
Right.
I mean, in other words, let's say they have to throw, a piece of chum to the Chrysler Corporation in order to put the big fish over at GM or something.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. But, it's funny. The thing that's so distressing about this as far as the banks and the automobile companies, which shows you why government never should invest in private companies. Otherwise, why don't they, buy up the food and clothing companies and, make everything perfect?
Sure.
The deal is, I looked at General Motors' balance sheet and the Ford balance sheet, and I wouldn't put my money in. I'm not buying their shares, but, I am.
Yeah, you thought you were.
I thought I wasn't. I looked at Citibank. I looked at Wells Fargo. I looked at these things. I said, and Bank of America. I said, I've got my stocks over here, and I've already taken a beating, and I don't think I need to take another one. I looked at their bottom line balance sheet and said, no. And somebody turned to me and said, yes. And, with the mugging. I mean, they just,
they're off and running here. And,
double time. And running is right.
Yeah, there's no question. And so. And so they've changed. What I love about this is they've changed what they're going to do with the money because, according to them, things have changed.
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all different now.
Yeah, it's all different.
Right.
Yeah, no, we had a crisis before, but this is a totally different crisis in 2 weeks. Now, let me tell you something. And if you think there's not going to be a 100% total different crisis on January 20th, you're out of your mind.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, like I said, they're going to come up with what they think is the perfect little plan,
Oh, look.
37 over here, 25 over there.
They are running around. The ship is going down. It's the Titanic. And I have talked before about rearranging the deck chairs. But what's happened is, there's all this damp money that's really hardly any good, but I mean, there's pieces of paper all over the deck of the Titanic, and these people are slipping in and sliding, peeping in and hiding, trying to grab what they can. I mean, they are just, and it's a mad dash. It's a mob scene. It's a mob scene for this money that's just sitting
there. Well, and what I noticed
is, I'll tell you one of the reasons why it is. It's because I think that a lot of them know or really believe that this is going to be the last time it's going to be happen, because they know that there is no money. I mean, the fact is that for the last 30 or 40 years, all the Social Security, quote, surplus, unquote, has been spent. They spent that money. There is no more.
They're all in.
And they're all in. And the fact is that in the next.
Have to start taking from Social Security now.
All the chips.
Or the lotto.
Yeah. So, I mean.
The children, we're going to have to take it back.
Well,
children.
But, I mean, that was the other thing I saw.
That's
this cartoon.
Fair.
You know, they sent me a $600 check in July, and then they came here this month and asked for it back.
Oh.
I'd already spent it.
Oh.
They're
going to send us another one.
Yeah, they're going to send me another one. That's right. I'm sure they're going to be right around the corner like the mugger at the
ATM. Zero. That's out of
zero.
What
was that deal about the feds wanting to take over people's 401ks?
Well, actually, no. What happened was there's been serious testimony on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this last time. It happened in Argentina.
Yeah, we did.
Another oxymoron, by the way.
What?
Serious testimony on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's been testimony at Capitol Hill about literally, quote, offering a bribe to people to give up their 401ks in exchange for the security of the Social Security system. Which now, wait a minute. You have to understand, the Social Security system is good.
Bland
and you know why it's good? Because it has the word security in it.
Well, of course.
Oh, it's secure.
So it's got to be secure. I mean, it has the word security in it.
Right.
And it's a social good because it has the word social. I mean, you don't get
Hey, wait. You know what else has the word security in it? Mall security.
Homeland? No. Mall security.
Mall security, right.
Okay, and that's got to do with what?
That doesn't exactly make you feel secure, does it?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Well, of course, Those guys don't really carry guns.
Exactly my point. So, again, it's false advertising on the security. So,
So
trade in your 401.
Yeah, they want to actually, and, you know, they're going to offer you this little, they're going to hang out there with, like, you give a little fish to a seal, you know, you hang it out there and the fish kind of, and that seal kind of begs for it or the,
right.
And then you,
the
you
carrot,
know, come on, grab it.
Carrot.
I gotcha. and then it's all over. I mean, you know, they're going to spend that money too.
Right.
I mean, it is that simple. They want to get their hands on that money. And then they spend it, and they figure
they're trying to get their hands on any money they can.
Well,
there are two rules.
There are two rules in government, and there was a column in the Wall Street Journal, I think, and it ended up with it said, you know, no excuses. It says now that Obama's here, and the Democrats are in control and everything, they can do what they want to do, and we've heard about black this, white this, and you know the economy here and economy there, and now they're going to be able to do whatever they want to do. And at the end of the road, there'll be no excuses for this, you know, success or failure. And I wrote the guy back and I said, I'll guarantee you two things, failure and excuses. I guarantee it. You know, can you imagine? It doesn't matter. I mean, these people, it reminds me of an old Dean Martin movie, you know, where they said, always deny. And, you know, his wife comes in and catches him in bed with some girl. And he says, you know, what girl? And she's getting dressed, and he's getting dressed, and she's,
I don't know what you're
and she
talking
says,
about.
Yeah, and he said, and she says, that girl over there, what is she doing here?
You know, what are you talking
and
about?
And they're
I
putting
don't
on
see
their clothes.
At all.
She goes into the bathroom, she gets dressed, and then she walks out, and he says, what are you talking about?
Not my
I don't know what you're talking about. And she, you know, she's at the end of it. Of course, the funny part of it is that she actually doesn't believe what she saw. She's, well, okay, if you say so, I guess I didn't see her.
Right.
And that's what these guys do. I mean, they, what do you mean no excuses? You could be standing there with the gun in your hand and the smoking gun, bullets, dead people, whatever it is, and you say, what gun?
Who?
What? Who? Yeah. I didn't do that. And these guys have no shame. They will do it. I actually sent the guy an email and I said, I can guarantee you failure, A, excuses, B.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, my prayer is no first 100 days. I mean, I'm hoping you're right, Jimmy.
First 100 days.
No.
Just make it through the first 100 days.
Well, okay. That brings up two other points that I want to talk about. And that is, can we switch now to something?
Yeah. We're moving on.
There is a video running around the country. There's a movie going to come out. I think it's only going to be on YouTube and it's called 33 Minutes. Have you heard about that?
No. Which one is that?
Okay. If you go on YouTube or someplace or do a search for 33 Minutes, it has to do with our SDI, the defense.
Star Wars.
Right? Star Wars, right. And what it is.
Strategic Defense Initiative.
That's exactly right. And what they're saying
is. Yes, Jack!
Whoa! Is that they,
I don't know where I pulled that from. Nice.
Got him.
Got that one.
So they are, their big problem is that there are 20 countries now, apparently, that have ballistic missile capability, or at least short-range ballistic missile capability.
Right.
And, you know, wouldn't it be like, you know, Korea launches one or, you know, or whatever, Obamajad or whatever, one of these people, you know, one of these rogue countries, madmen people, whatever it is, do this. We need to have this big defense system they're talking about. And they talk about the successes that we've had and how far we've come since Reagan first started it. And of course, back then.
So let's get rid of it. That's what.
Well, no. What this thing says is it makes the case that we really need to put this thing together. I mean, it's time to go. We need to, you know, or else we're all going to die because
I'm in for a missile defense shield, man.
Well, let me tell you something that I thought about on this as the they were talking about the technology and you know
oh, I'm
you know
all for
and
it. I'm
the
all
well
for it.
Wait a minute, just let me hear me out on this because this is again another cult movie that you all have
I want
to see.
50 caliber satellites.
They're talking about being able to do this, and of course, the next thing you know, I guess what they'll do is deploy it. You know, Europe and everybody will have a defense shield. Maybe when it's all over, I don't know. But anyway, the guys, let's assume for the moment that you can do it, protect the United States, and of course, I don't believe it. I believe in any arms race that what happens.
No, it's just one more link in the acceleration. I mean, it's one more step. But
okay, but here was my point on this. Here's where I'm going on this. Is he says that 20 countries now have ballistic missile capabilities, and more to come. And what I was immediately thinking about. Was that movie from 1951, you know, with the Krell in it?
Yes.
What was that called?
Forbidden Planet.
Forbidden Planet, right. Well, you remember what happened was they got the ultimate machine.
Yes.
And then overnight, they wiped themselves out. Now, believe me, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking 20 countries with ballistic missiles and is this, that, and the other thing. It doesn't take too much imagination to imagine that we ought to rename ourselves the Krell.
Well, it's kind of fascinating that it's been 60 years since the invention of the bomb, and that only the first two were actually used on folks.
Right.
And I mean people have really shown some restraint, I think.
Well, in galactic terms, that's not even an eye blink.
Well, of course not. But in cultural terms and cultural evolution terms, I mean, there have been some wars and people have resisted the urge to wipe out,
pussies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, you can't know. And if you read any stuff or even see the fiction movie, but this is pretty close, is you don't know how close we came.
Well,
in 61.
Well, that's true too, of course. And of course, some of those wars might have been better off if they had used it one or two.
I want to mention because, and according to Joe Stradamus, that same decision may be coming upon Monsieur O.
Yeah. Well, right. Coming now that is
because
well,
he
not
specifically
only,
not, referred to that decision.
Well, not only Nostradamus,
T-shirts available
the Mayan
now.
Calendar. Remember now, it's October. What is it? October 12th, 2012.
No, 2012, December 16th.
10/12. I thought it was the 12th.
No, 2012 is
2012.
I'm saying October 12th.
Oh, okay.
It might be, but it's in four years.
Yeah, it's in 4 years.
From today.
Right. Supposedly,
we won't be here 4 years from today. We will not be here.
Right.
Okay. Now, how many times just on the Jimmy Doan show have we said that? At least twice.
Man,
that
let me take. Now, I'm kind of a translator, polyglot type person, and you know something was just lost in the translation in terms of that.
Oh, I don't believe that.
That calendar doesn't end, man.
No.
There was a great show on the History Channel about it, but yeah. There's some speculation whether it starts another long count at that point. But the whole thing is that it's at the end of Obama's term. He's got 4 years to blow the whole world apart.
You know, actually,
nice.
That is right. You know, that is right. It's right before the election of 2012.
Exactly.
Well,
that's amazing because either we're going to be struck by a giant asteroid or these 20 nations are all going to launch their shit.
Right.
All right. Now I'm going to get my hanger dogs card like permanently revoked for it. I'm telling you.
We got some great sound bites from them, by the way.
They're going to go back edit me out of their shows after what I have to say here. But
I love this. There's a show. They know that you go to the Hanger Dog site, and this is well. I thought this show was 56 minutes, and now it's 46 minutes.
I mean, honestly, I don't think that our nation or any nation has any business in international law and order.
No, I don't either. I agree with you.
International law and
it
order
doesn't
is,
work.
Is what's a myth. I mean, if we had enough power to do international law and order, what that means is we take over everybody,
and we would have done it.
Right.
And, it's like the Dark Star.
Right. And so we shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. And I really think that Obama has a more sensible policy in terms of what he's going to do. I believe, at least what he's said, is draw down some troops from non-strategic locations around
and redivert them to Afghanistan.
Well, he's going to use the money for his WPA or whatever. But my point is that it might be a little bit less aggressive of a United States, a little bit less offensive of United States. If there are people out there who are reacting to the United States' aggression, they'll have less of a reason to.
A lot of those people don't need a reason. I mean, that's the other thing.
I think we're giving them a big reason.
Well, we are that too. But again, and that's a lot of ways. That's why Castro stayed in power for all these years, as he has pointed out and said it's the great Satan. Not he didn't use the great Satan, but the big capitalist pigs up there trying to take me over, and you need me to stay here until I'm really old. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, can you imagine the guy?
He's still in power?
Oh, yeah. I mean, more or less, pretty much. Yeah, except for Raul, I think, is around there pretty much.
But Raul!
But, I mean, as far as this, you know, as far as the international stuff is concerned, we do, my point always has been, at least since the Second World War, that you look at Korea and Vietnam and even this thing, I mean, don't want to win a war? What are you talking about? I mean, we could go in and glass top the damn place tomorrow morning and be over.
Well, that's what I was talking about earlier with the bombs, saying we need more bombs.
Eric's right. They're pussies, man.
We need to go in and fight. This could have been over.
That's the key. If we're going to fight, you fight to win. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at this loser, mentality that's been around here since the late 40s.
Yeah. I've said this last war, we haven't tried to win. We've tried to lose to the right group of people. And there's been several like that.
But we lost to the right group of people a couple times before, and now they're pissed at us.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because it wasn't ever the right group. There is no losing the right group. You take over yourself. You institute your own court system.
You put McDonald's there.
You put some McDonald's there.
God damn it.
And it's over.
Yep. Yeah, well, what's interesting is this is straight out of the 16th century, straight out of Machiavelli. If you read The Prince, this is exactly what's supposed to happen. This is the way you do it. Once you get into power, you kill all your buddies and friends because they're the ones that are going to be, vying for the power. And you don't wound anybody. You know, as I say, you can't leave a potential rival alive. Literally, you can't just hurt them and say, I'll do it to you again. That doesn't work. They'll come back and nail your butt. So anyway,
they'll come back and run for president.
Well, of course, that's to say, the only thing that is a little surprising is that the presidential race for 2012 hasn't actually started yet. But I think
it has.
What I mean is it hasn't visibly started with anybody announcing. I think the reason is that people have to wait and see what kind of a trip up Obama's going to make, which he is, and then because he does have the ability to run, he's not a lame duck president. He does, quote, if everything were to go just fine and dandy, he could run again in 2012. And you know he's going to run again in 2012. Well, I say that. He probably won't. Well, no. Excuse me. You can take that one. Secret Service.
We'll put a link to the Eddie Murphy skit.
Yeah, I was saying that just for fun. They ought to announce that they're not going to give it to Obama. We've made
December 14th.
We had a meeting and the presidency's
Hillary,
been awarded.
Hillary.
We're
going to listen to Jimmy Doan and we're going to vote Hillary.
They could just pick somebody. I mean, maybe riots.
You couldn't do any worse. Joe the plumber.
He
couldn't do any worse.
Hey, Jimmy, do you want to comment on whether or not affirmative action has succeeded or anything like that?
Well, the beauty of it is, yeah, of course it has. I mean, duh. You just look at it. Obama, see.
I mean, when your race has the top guy.
Hey, I heard someone say this is Generation O.
Oh, yeah, me too.
This is Oprah. Generation O, my.
Oh, was that Oprah?
God.
Well,
Oprah.
I don't know. I mean, it could have been.
It's
be
Oprah
anybody.
And Obama.
Yeah.
No,
exactly.
It's Obama.
Hey, and she's not going to get appointed anything. Well, she'd be taking such a serious pay cut.
She will next year.
Yeah. She ain't
going
to
do
that.
Secretary of
affirmative action, there's no need for it anymore, obviously.
She'll be Secretary of Beef.
Hey, he's going to appoint a black attorney general. So, I mean, if you're black,
you're in, baby.
You are the man.
Yeah, man, ain't no man. to say Obama, man, he's not even black. What's up with that?
What are you talking about? He's not black.
He's not black. He's just as much white as he is black.
No, that doesn't count. No, I'm going to tell you, I've seen people literally, there's a, what's her name? There's two or three
Janet
people.
Jackson.
He's a white guy with a good tan.
There's two or three people on, that regularly come on railing about, you know, the oppressed, poor oppressed black people. And this one girl in particular, and her name just went through my mind again. Curly hair, kind of heavy set. And she's
Esther off the Sanford and Son?
No. She literally, she is almost, I mean, she's like a very slight cream color.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's literally, she's got to be 9/10 white.
Right.
And she's screaming how black she is. And I'm thinking, not so much.
Kind of like Tiger Woods.
Well, you know, think about this. If they get the top spot, right, and they get the attorney general spot, And you've got Oprah, you've got Tiger Woods. I mean, once they nationalize the banks,
Will Smith.
Will Smith.
They'll have the money and the guns.
It doesn't get any better than that.
It doesn't get any better than that. No. I mean, then all we need. Well, what I'm thinking is this: if at that point, if the blacks have superseded the need for affirmative action, at that point, we're going to need some kind of agency to rule over if they've succeeded too much.
The gangs.
No, I don't know about that.
No, no, the KKK.
Well, I'm being sarcastic here.
But I mean, I got a feeling that the Latino people are going to come in and want to say, "Man, you know, we have got
talking to me.
You're talking to me. We ain't on this stage."
Yeah, I'm thinking we need a race equilibrium agency.
The REA.
The REA. That's right.
I like it.
And then
NAAWP.
I'm here from the REA. Ha.
Well, and then management should be at the end there so that it spells
ream.
But the race equilibrium, what they could do is they could determine whether or not a certain group has their representation in all areas.
You know, what's funny, in a way I'm thinking about this, because one of the great books on race, I think I've talked about this before, by James Mister called Caribbean. And there was a guy who ran one of the islands down there. It's quite an extensive chapter in the book. If you get a long Michener type thing, very, very well researched. And he had divided the color scheme into 128. And literally, I mean, and he had, you know, had 128 color scale, and you were ranked on that color. I mean, I thought to myself, wait a minute, we're not talking about white to black here. We're talking about all the shades of darkness
and everybody
was one of those things. And I mean, and of course the idea was if you were like 64 on the scale, you wanted to move up to 48, you know, and by marrying somebody was 48 and vice, you know, there was a big coup if you could move the 64 could marry. I thought, oh man, Orwell, you know, was already here, you know, 200 years before he was.
Wow.
So anyway, that's what it is interesting to see that when you hear somebody, well, that person's not black enough.
Well, they're going to have to keep Condoleezza, man.
Not black enough.
They got to keep Condoleezza.
Yeah, well, I would think they would. Well, she's a Republican, so.
Right.
Yeah, I know, but still. Well,
bye-bye.
She passes.
Bye-bye.
She's 50% there. So.
Well, that's true. Yeah, but of course, they have the 62-page thing they have to fill out. I just tell them to shove it myself. You know, I mean, Hillary has to fill out the 62-page form to be.
And she's got 47 scribes.
I know them. That, but I mean, you know, as I said, one of the things has to do, has your husband ever lied about anything kind of thing?
Well, there was this one dress.
No.
No.
You know, I believed him at the time.
Yeah,
it depends on what the definition of lied is.
It depends on what the definition of depends is.
Husband? What do you mean by husband?
Well, Jimmy, how about this? Gas is down. I saw 191 today.
Yep. I paid 197 the other day.
And here, this is in Gainesville.
Less than $40 to fill my car.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. It has dropped.
Sweet!
Literally, think about it. This time last year, it was about this. It's rocketed up to $4.25 when we were driving out to Idaho, and now it's back down to half that. I mean, that is one of the saving grace things.
Well, is that because they passed some great law?
Because
Gene from the Hanger Dogs invested in oil futures.
that's what happened.
As soon as he bought.
That's it. Yeah, oh, we same. See this order. Okay, now we can do it. That's it. Slam that thing down.
Boom.
The energy czar.
Yeah,
when I invested in the stock market, crash!
That's it. Well, and I've, you know, a couple of times, I know Mrs. Jimmy's done this a couple of times too, and she's kind of tried to fool it by going in and buying half. And they're not buying it.
Yeah.
You know, so then she goes in and says, okay, well, I guess this is real. So she goes in there and puts it all, wham!
Wham!
You know, that's it.
Just think it's great now. And what I wonder is, are they still going to have the windfall profits tax? And if they do, are they going to have a bailout for the oil industry,
right? A
in
bailout,
a couple years,
a bailout profit stack,
right?
A win loss profit stack,
win loss,
win loss.
It's an over under.
A win loss loser tax. I don't know. That's called the bailout. Mm-hmm. That's what they always do. Of course, they name it differently. I know they're really upset that it's being called a bailout rather than a financial functional readjustment of
exactly
investment.
That's right. Investment. Right. Always an investment.
Taxpayer investment. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I'm really proud of our new mostly white president.
Okay.
Well, you know, speaking of
Mulatto Obama.
Well, one other thing too. You know, Maria Makova passed away.
It's a very historic day for
Maria Makova. She played. She had the click song.
Oh.
She was really famous. Yeah. It's like, well, she was from Swahili. Yeah, well, she was still performing. She, like, died on stage or whatever the other day, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Very, very big influence in my life for me trying to learn Swahili.
Oh, no, the big influence was happened today, of course, was the second landing of the Apollo on the moon.
Yeah.
Number two.
And they're
Alan
in,
Green,
in 69. Of course, they're in space
Dick
right
Gordon.
Now.
Gordon.
Yeah, they're up. Yeah, let's hope they come back safely. That'll be nice. Okay, just let me get, before I get to light stuff, because I got a couple of light things here.
All right.
I was sent this by a friend of mine called the quote of the week, and I thought this was kind of interesting.
Is this Jimmy's quote of the week?
No. It's from Thomas Jefferson, 1802. I believe
keep it current.
I believe
nice
that the banking
current.
Institutions are, I am going to do this, and I'm going to link this so nicely.
Nice.
The segue.
Jimmy pulls out a link.
Oh, no, I'm going to link this so sweetly to today's activities. I believe the banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Okay, well, Thomas Jefferson had a couple things wrong in his life.
Deep.
Is one of them. Well, it is deep, because one of the things it says, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, because what we've done is we've allowed the, quote, public banks. And what's happened? Look at where we are today. We are literally, I don't know exactly what the number is, but you know when you read the paper these days, it'll say, well, in 1962 or 1931 or in 1843, X amount was spent on this or X, Y. In today's dollars, that's so-and-so. Well, I mean, whoa, if without inflation, without the Federal Reserve, that would be a non sequitur. I mean, that wouldn't mean anything. In fact, I'm sure that with some very small adjustments, if they had a government agency corralling this stuff until 1913, now there have been inflations and depressions because of the silver and gold, the influx from the California when they discovered it. Of course, there was an inflationary price thing that swept across the country because of all the gold. And in the 1880s, when they found the silver, Comstock silver mine or whatever it was, the government, of course, meddled in that thing. And that's why you could still buy an 1883 Morgan silver dollar brand spanking new, you know, for not much more than the price of the silver, is because the government monkeyed around with that thing. So anyway, the point is that the private banks would never have allowed this to happen because they can't. There's an automatic check in the private sector. And I'm a little disappointed that he comes up. He says the American people, as if they're one, would never if they ever allow private.
One of Jimmy's pet peeves.
Yeah, that's right. And of course they can't control the currency, especially if banks compete. Believe me, it doesn't take too long before people figure out which is a good bank and which is a bad. And that's why we had something called wildcat banks in the old days. You know, because you had to take a wildcat to find it, and their money was heavily discounted. If you walked in from the bank of, you know, East Jesus Tennis Shoe, North Dakota, and you're in Florida and you had a $10 bill from that bank, they might give you a dollar for it. I mean, they discounted the hell out of it because that's the way the market worked. You couldn't get away with everything. Anyway, it says around the banks, it will deprive the people, whoever they are, of all property until their children wake up. So, well, of course, bankers are people too. The American are all people. And it's interesting that, so the banks, I guess, like this building on the corner, suddenly owns all the property and all the people, i.e. their customers, are sitting out there, you know, with their tongues hanging out, their bellies distended and dying. It doesn't work that way. I mean, in a private enterprise system, the bankers want customers like anybody else. You got to have a lie. They want to be good. It reminds me a little bit of that movie called Thank You for Smoking. I mean, the guy looks at the cancer kid and says, "No, I want you to live. You know, you're one of my best customers. You know, don't die. You know, that kind of thing." So this is the way. I mean, he was wrong. You have to understand. This was 1802, when for the next 100 years, literally, we were still an agrarian society. Over half the back then, at like 90%, 95% of the population lived on farms. And Jefferson's ideal for the country was that we should stay that way. That this should be a nation of farmers. I mean, he made it crystal clear.
Well,
on that.
We're on our way back, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right. Subsistence farmers at that. Which is, so I did want to mention this because I'd gotten this from a friend here of mine, and this shows that even the founding fathers can make a mistake or
genius.
Two.
Genius.
So that was it. That's the heavy duty stuff. Okay. The next thing, which I thought was kind of interesting, and this is a little bit of a light note, sometimes, you know, people can get in trouble for things. The most, last Friday, a woman in Florida was driving down the interstate, and she was 95 here, and she was arguing with her boyfriend, the passenger, and the 19-year-old boyfriend got very angry and slapped her with a Subway sandwich. And so,
Now, when you said 95 just then, you meant I-95, right. Not she was 95.
No. She was like a little kid. Wait, did you read that too?
Yeah, I saw this in Light Notes.
So she got hit with a subway.
Yeah, and you know, he's in jail. I mean, for like, what is it, for some kind of assault?
Of course, that's battery, man.
Yeah.
Battery. Assault.
The blow from the tasty break bread was so powerful the poor girl's glasses fell off and she almost crashed. She was driving. The car was littered with lettuce and green peppers. The mayonnaise covered pickle dropped from the window. It was a massacre, he says here. So they have a picture of him here. And the boyfriend was later arrested on domestic battery charges. He posted $7,500 bail and is currently free to assault more people.
And the one I said, it did also, after this, it hit the man allegedly ripped off the rearview mirror and shattered the front windshield, too. A little violence there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's there was more. But, I mean, the car didn't take out a complaint, did it?
No.
Okay. Well, then we don't worry about that.
Car's okay.
The car's okay. The car did not have to go to major surgery or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we going out on Light Notes because I got some good news. You see this rapper, he wrote a song.
That's impossible.
Yeah, I know. That alone is great. He wrote a song, and in the song...
The one nice thing about being a rapper drummer is it's the same.
The one beat, you know.
That's it.
No, he wrote a song talking about a killing and mentioned the victim by name, and turned out he had actually killed that guy.
This is not a good thing to do.
No.
It's called admission of guilt or something?
Yeah, it's 20.
Had he been read as Miranda?
It's called 20 Years in Prison.
Whoa!
That's the name of the album?
Yeah, that's the name of his one and only album. That's right.
First track, no possibility of parole. Second track, don't do what I did.
That's right.
Third track, in the hole.
That's right. Leave the soap on the floor.
Soap on a rope for your
dope. Fourth track is I'm his bitch.
That's a ballad.
It's a love song.
No, yeah. It's a cappella.
Oh man,
I got a light
note. That's what
here.
You get for being a Georgia rapper. you see, the Massachusetts woman finally paid the 1 cent overdue.
No.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah,
oh,
1 cent.
Damn.
74-year-old woman. She's blind. Just to add a little, just to make the story.
This was a story we covered back a while back.
Yeah, paid it.
I forgot about it. What happened exactly?
They had a 1 cent lien on
overdue,
her home,
right, for a water and sewer bill.
And
overdue.
They kept sending her bills and stuff like that. And
it was 1 cent, and now a $48 penalty.
Right.
And finally, some guy, paid it for her. Came across and wrote her a check.
This was we were laughing at how they had spent. Just who knows how much money trying to collect this 1 cent.
And that's what this guy who paid it, I think what was his comment? He was irked by the fact that the federal government can spend billions for bailouts.
Well, I'm sure it was in Massachusetts. Yeah, right.
It was great because he mentioned the bailouts to tie everything in. The federal government can spend billions for bailouts, yet a senior citizen was threatened with a lien in her home over 1 cent. So again, the bailouts, always an forever historic excuse. So
here's one.
And remember, we take PayPal here at the Jimmy Dunn Show.
Oh, that's right.
I saw.
So if you bailouts for podcast.
You know, it's funny. I had written on my calendar. Apparently, I wrote it up a couple months ago, and I at the top of the calendar for this month, I had leave the country.
Here's a little light note. I saw this headline the other day. It said a street drug was now good for medical purposes.
Oh, marijuana.
No, it was ecstasy they were talking about.
Whoa.
Which was funny to me because it was started as a medical drug. And then it was invented by Merck in the
30s. MDMA.
Yeah, you know.
What does it do?
It was a marital aid. It makes you...
A marital aid?
Yeah.
It makes you limp.
No, it makes you feel like really good and like open and like you have...
It's an aphrodisiac.
Whenever you're like feeling like, oh, you have this great rapport with the person, then
oh,
yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
And
yeah.
So, and you
talk a lot.
Yeah. And you share your
you connect,
details
you really
with, fear of, rejection or whatever.
I slept with all
like
of
drinking.
Your friends,
right.
honey.
Yeah. Right. Ooh. Yeah.
say, this stuff wears off, huh?
In fact, they're in the other room right now.
That is the problem, is the wear off part. You know, if the real drug to come up with would be the anti wear off. I mean, that is to say,
I believe they call that more drug.
No. I don't mean that. I mean to get you back to normal without the deflation that has to happen.
Right.
And I love this cop in Texas too, who newly elected, and he was hanging out at a friend's house late Saturday night when they responded to a call of shots fired. Of course, just getting drunk and shooting his new issued firearm into the air.
And
oops.
Well, you know,
no problem.
Well, there was another one up
no
here.
No charges.
There was a hunter.
But he did appear. He appeared to be drunk, and he admitted.
Well, there's one even worse than that, though. There was this hunter out here. I noticed that it was up in Wisconsin or Michigan or something like that, and was a deer hunter, and went out and plugged a deer, got his deer, and did a little victory dance around the deer and shot. Did one shot up in the air, and it came down in somebody's house and killed this kid.
Oh, no.
Well, it turns out he's second degree manslaughter, whatever.
Yeah.
Because he was within, you're not allowed to discharge the firearm within, 500 yards of a residence or something. And it turned out they taped it off. He was 400 yards away.
Oh, that's what
you're supposed to fire it straight up in the air so it comes down on your head. And didn't MythBusters prove that? I don't believe. I always thought that they came down with the same velocity that they went up, but MythBusters apparently said.
Disproved.
I watched that whole show. They fired a bunch of rounds up into the air, and they didn't even barely impact the surface. I mean, in other words, they reached terminal velocity pretty quick.
Was anybody willing to stand under them with their skull exposed to chest it out for sure?
Look, on the way up, you've got the compression and the explosion. On the way back down, it's just
a free fall, yeah.
No, but let me tell you something. On the moon?
Well, yeah, but that's on the moon.
Okay, but on the moon, if you fire a bullet up in the moon,
it'll come back down
at the same velocity.
Right, but that's the moon.
No. That's if you fire it at an angle.
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if you
shoot it straight up.
Straight up, straight across, 45 degrees, 10 degrees, it doesn't matter.
There's no atmosphere to slow it down.
It will keep accelerating. A bullet, if you fire it, 10 miles out from the moon, it will accelerate at whatever the G force is, and will continue to accelerate until it hits the moon. It will not.
Okay, well, maybe.
There is no terminal velocity.
Okay.
So, and the rule is, if you fire a gun on the moon at any angle, really, let's say straight up.
Say a Chinese astronaut.
Okay, and you fire it up, and it leaves the barrel at 3,200 feet per second. It will come back down on the moon at exactly 3,200 feet per second.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, now, what we're saying here is, you do the same thing here on Earth. Well, it reaches terminal velocity because the bullet.
It comes
down.
You got
atmosphere here.
It's, right.
Yeah.
But I was still under the impression that it got pretty fast enough to hurt you bad.
Yes, think that.
Did this kid? Well, maybe the kid that was looking up right at the moment and
well, it
came
said,
in his
it's,
eyeball
what happened was,
something.
Well, it's that they said something along those lines. In other words, it wounded him badly, and they took him to the hospital where he died or something. I can't remember what it was.
Well, now let me put it this way. If he fired it, quote unquote, into the air, but he fired it like a 45-degree angle, okay, then the bullet's going to hit with a lot more force
down the road. That was the problem.
That's the problem.
They said if he had fired it straight up, it would have been.
It'd have been fine.
No, it was at an angle.
Yeah, and that's the problem because it's going to be hauling ass at that point in time because it's not letting gravity take all of its energy away.
Right,
it's getting hit the ground first. That's the whole problem with that.
So did you hear about the guy? He was pissed off about his cat there. They found his cat, took it to the shelter. He went to get it and got a little pissed off when they said he had to pay $132 to get it back. So he went out and got a Louisville Slugger, came in, and he took his cat.
Whoa! He's got to be in jail for that.
No, they didn't catch him, but they do have a clue because
they have a picture of the cat.
No, he signed the guest register before he before fleeing.
One of our sometime cast members did that kind of a thing. And they came and got his cat back. They figured out which cat. I'm not saying. No.
But does it rhyme with DJ?
Oh, my God.
Any more light notes?
I got tons, man. Hang on one second.
I got one more, but
well,
go ahead.
Let me, I got talking parrot saves toddler's life.
Oh, yeah. We saw
Willie, the parrot, started screaming because he saw this kid on the ground. And he kept screaming, mama baby, over and over until the other kid, you know, figured out what was happening.
Are you sure it wasn't baby mama?
No, it was mama baby. And then, basically this girl, I guess, she was turning blue because she was choking on her Pop-Tart. So then I guess her sister Megan, you know, performed the Heimlich maneuver and saved the child. But, if Willie hadn't been screaming, you know, and people tell me that, you know, these birds aren't smart. I'm saying, hey, man, you need to. That's right. Polly wants something.
You know, that brought up another point that I saw on the Discovery Channel or the History Channel, the Access Discovery. You know, they found these new skulls of the miniature primates, or not miniature primates, the early humanoids. Mm-hmm. They're finding their
hominids.
Like, hominids or whatever. They found the marsupial. That was in Today thing, the midget. That was a primate, but I'm talking about the early humans.
Right. They found the early humans. 6 million years old.
Well, they found some early humans, literally. Mm-hmm. And they have a brain about half the size of ours, and they were smallish and everything. They got several, so they found them in, on the island someplace that didn't evolve or whatever, and they,
are hobbits.
Yeah, hobbits, right. But they found the similar skulls in, you know, the Pakistan type area or whatever.
Those are Muppets.
they are sock puppets, right? Okay. No. Anyway, the point is that this is what I was thinking. They were talking about, you know, what could these people have done? How smart could they have been? And I'm thinking, Jesus, this parrot, you know, like you say, you know, a parrot can do this sort of thing. And they can invent tools. They can, you know, do a lot of pretty
It'd
smart
scare
things.
Scare the shit out of you when one was in your house.
What?
Those little Muppet Hobbit things.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding things? Pakistani hominids.
Yeah, let me tell you. A spider would scare the shit out of you in this house.
Oh, jeez. No, dude, man, if I see one spider, that ruins my whole day.
No, but I did think it was interesting. These little Hobbit things are apparently like right out of Lord of the Rings or something. I mean,
Nice.
And, And so anyway, but I was thinking they were wondering how they could be smart. I said, shit, that damn thing's got the brain 10 times the size of a parrot. Right. And, you know, that got to be worth something.
Well, speaking of,
and they're not much bigger than a parrot.
No. And they probably ate parrots.
Or maybe that's why they're extinct.
The parrots ate them.
Okay. That's it turns out.
Did you see that they discovered a 4,300 year old pyramid in Egypt?
Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty old. Yeah. 4,300 years old.
It's not a big one.
No, but it was the 118th discovered so far in Egypt.
I saw that. It's in Saqqara.
Yeah, pretty amazing. I'll tell you, boy, some looting going on over there.
And I think it was a step pyramid.
And I don't know if it was. They were all early ones were step, I think.
Yeah,
I'll
put a link to it.
like anybody cares.
I got it, and of course, I've got to vindicate, not he was ever convicted, but Ray Kurzweil. He predicted in 1998 that there would be a divorce from somebody having an affair virtually within 10 years, and it is now 2008, and just divorced for having an affair in Second Life.
I saw that.
Yep.
So. I mean, and can you imagine? I mean, he was caught in flagrante his avatar was caught in flagrante with some avatar, another avatar, and his wife walks in,
right,
and here's his avatar pumping away, I guess, on
having
the,
sex with an on-screen call girl.
Oh my God. And so she divorces him. Unfaithful bastard.
Yep.
I am laughing my ass off at that. I mean, just
caught him cuddling in a woman on a sofa in the game. It looked really affectionate.
What would happen if she'd walked in and caught him masturbating or something? I mean, you know, divorce his hand or what? I mean,
off with your hand.
Off with your hand. Know, but right. Yeah. Hey, Lorena Bobbitt, where are you?
Anyway,
his avatar has no hand.
Yep. That's it. Exactly. New avatar. Post-op.
Did you hear about the California thieves that are going straight to hell?
No.
Yeah, they stole a big bronze Virgin Mary off of the front of a Catholic church. Big design, $30,000 bronze sculpture, and apparently they think a bunch of bums stole it for recycling.
They didn't want it. What, they were tired of their blow up doll or what?
No,
I mean,
they were just walking around with their shopping carts at 1 a.m. and looking for scraps of aluminum and metal, and there's this large bronze thing on the side of a church. And
good enough for me.
They pried it right off. So.
Now, here's kind of a light note. It's kind of sad, too. If you noticed, when the election was happening, they showed a picture of Jesse Jackson, and he was crying.
No, oh, really?
He was crying.
We'll put a link to it.
Talk about crying and so forth. I watched used to be my favorite show until last night, Boston Legal, and of course, you know, they're screaming liberals. A lot of those people are on there, liberals, and it was interesting because What?
False and legal.
The theme
right. Right, right. There you go. Okay. Anyway, what's her name? You know, Candace or whatever. She, Candace Bergen, she says, and when the election, I didn't actually listen to the whole thing. She says, and I wept, you know, when, and I went click. I had, I fast forwarded there. No, but I mean, they were.
Do we have a vomit sound over
John,
there?
James Spader and Candace Bergen. You know, are such unbelievable. And it's been going on for two shows now. Of course, Shatner is a Republican and so forth.
Remember, she was Murphy Brown.
Oh, I know that. I know that. But I'm saying that it carries
over. I'm telling you.
This show, though, unfortunately, the show Monday night or whenever they're on, was so blatant. I mean, I just sat there and I couldn't watch. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm no fan of any of them. But to see that
You're really not.
No, I tell you, when she said, I wept. And I've heard that before. From other people.
Jesse Jackson weep in there, he really looked more like a kid who'd been caught doing something.
He's been caught.
You know what he was crying for.
He was thinking, I hope he doesn't remember that cut my nuts off comment.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. You think about it for a second. What, got a sharpshooter pick those nuts off from half a mile away? No, I saw where some sniper, by the way, set a new record. No,
I saw that.
2,300 yards or something out in Afghanistan, they picked somebody.
No, Jesse was crying because he wasn't the black man standing
on
the
stage. Well, except his son, I think.
He was in front.
His son is going to take care of
it. No, he declined.
No, you're kidding.
No, that's right. No, I'm sorry.
Jesse Jackson Jr. I think is a shoe-in for Obama's
Senate seat, didn't he?
Right,
that's what the talk is.
Somebody declined the Senate.
He's the right color.
Yeah, that's the.
Who was it?
There is no racism anymore, so you can say anything you want.
That was a good show.
That was a good show. Yeah,
you can say whatever you want.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Hey, did any of you guys see
white president? He's white.
The Jeff Dunham's Christmas special.
I didn't think it was that good.
I didn't see it. I just saw it.
I've got it on tape if you need it. I think, but it's not. I was disappointed.
I liked this one last year, Jingle Bombs.
Well, he had that this year.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, that was the same. A lot of it was very similar stuff. The best part was at the beginning. Walter was good.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, I'm tired of Peanut. And and he did have Bubba J.
Yeah.
And Bubba J is a real, I mean, he's, you know.
Hey, I want to say congratulations to the American people.
Oh, right.
117 million people voted. That's a pretty large coordinated
But it wasn't that much more than last time.
Well, I'm just saying. It's kind of special, I think, for 117 million people to go out and do the same thing.
Well, you know, a lot of people didn't vote because they don't believe in the system. That is to say, you reaffirm the validity and of a system that uses guns and violence to take your money away. So I'm not, you know, if I vote no, it's a vote that says that I'm okay with the system. So I was talking about that earlier.
Your alternative is revolution. And,
we're headed that way. Don't worry about it.
I think it's better. Hey, I will say an example of how it should work is what happened in the Nebraska legislature this week. They corrected their child protection law, which we had talked about on the show. They passed a law six, 8 months ago, where you could drop off kids at the hospital in order to protect infants. Well, kids is defined as 18 and under.
Right.
And within a few months, about 30 teenagers had been dropped off up there. And so now we ridiculed the heck out of that law, and they're going to change it. So they're shortening it to 30 days. You have to be born within 30 days. So, hey, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Only reason they changed is because they run out of money. It's all about the money.
Well, maybe so. But, hey, my point is, don't revolt. Go buy your gun, though.
Yeah, definitely buy some guns. And we'll probably see you guys after the holidays. Looks like we're going to take a little break for a little while. So send those emails to jimmy@jimmydone.com.
Thanks for listening.
And listen to Hangar Dogs, HANGARDOGS.com. And you'll probably dig their show. See ya.